Welcome back to another Friday on the Damage Report. I am Ravonna filling in for John Iadarola, and I'm so happy to be here with all of you today and to get to cover the stories of today. We're gonna talk about updates on Hunter Biden and his indictment. We're gonna talk about updates on Trump's many, many indictments, but specifically the ones in Georgia. We're gonna talk about someone confronting Mike Pence for his anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, and finally, because this has needed to happen for quite some time. And we're gonna talk about white supremacists not enjoying the consequences of their own actions, all this and more. And joining me to discuss all of this is Wasni Lombre. Was, thank you so much for being here today on Friday.
Happy to be on with you. Look forward to it.
All right. Are you ready to get into this first story?
Let's go.
All right. So you might have heard Hunter Biden, President Biden's son, was charged on Thursday by federal prosecutors with lying about his drug use when he purchased a handgun in 2018 and with illegally possessing the weapon. CNN reported on this. Let's get into the facts of this indictment. Count one accuses Hunter Biden of lying on an ATF form when he bought the gun by falsely swearing that he wasn't addicted to illegal drugs or using illegal drugs. Count two accuses Hunter Biden of lying to the federally licensed gun dealer in Wilmington where he bought the gun. The alleged lie was related to the same sworn statement on the ATF form. And count three accuses Hunter Biden of illegally possessing the gun while using drugs or being addicted to drugs, which is a federal crime. He possessed the gun for 11 days in 2018. Yeah, you read that right. You heard that right. 11 days. And if he's convicted on all these counts, he could theoretically face as much as 25 years in prison and fines up to $750,000, according to the filings. However, you know, defendants very rarely get the maximum penalty in these cases, so it would be very surprising if that were to happen. Now, you might remember there was a plea deal that fell through. So let's talk a little bit about that, because under that agreement, he wouldn't have gone to jail at all. NPR reported that Hunter Biden has agreed to plead guilty to two misdemeanor offenses related to his filing of federal income taxes. Federal authorities also charged him with a felony firearm offense for which he agreed to enter a pretrial diversion agreement that allows him to avoid prosecution. But as I mentioned, that agreement fell through and a special counsel was appointed to prosecute, investigate and prosecute this case, which Hunter Biden's camp is unhappy about. And his lawyer responded in a statement and said this: "The evidence in this matter has not changed in the last 6 weeks, but the law has, and so has MAGA Republicans' improper and partisan interference in this process. Hunter Biden possessing an unloaded gun for 11 days was not a threat to public safety, but a prosecutor with all the power imaginable bending to political pressure presents a grave threat to our system of justice." And as we mentioned, there was some other charges involved. And so there's more, or there was other things being investigated. So we're expecting more to come from ABC News. Thursday's charge is unlikely to be the last. Weiss also withdrew the two misdemeanor tax charges in Delaware with the intention of bringing them in California and Washington, DC, the venues where the alleged misconduct occurred. Prosecutors have not offered a timeline from those charges. And was I have an inclination to somewhat agree with Hunter Biden's attorney, because it feels like this is all, and we know that Hunter Biden has been, you know, the main character in right-wing ire for quite some time now. He wasn't necessarily a threat to public safety. I don't think anyone is alleging that when he bought that gun, he was intending to harm anybody. In fact, what was at the time he was involved in a little bit of a romantic scandal with his deceased brother's wife. And she found the gun and threw it away because she was afraid he might hurt himself. So I don't know, the idea that he might go to jail for 25 years, I think is absurd, and it's not gonna help him or anybody.
He's not gonna go to jail for 25 years. Let's just get that out of the way. That's not going to happen. Also, just for the audience, I didn't know it was illegal to be a drug addict and own firearms in this country. Feels like a lot of people would be going to prison if we actually prosecuted that law out here. And I would think that gun rights advocate people would be up in arms at the idea that this law even exists and is even on the books, considering, you know, things like the opioid crisis and places like the Heartland and, you know, Southern America. The idea that this is even illegal at all kind of baffles me. But yeah, this feels like just a witch hunt. It feels like a publicity stunt. I have a hard time believing this guy will see the inside of a jail cell, not only just because he's Joe Biden's son, but because these charges are pretty weak, and any good lawyer could get this taken care of in a weekend, man, honestly. And so this is definitely a headline grabber. It's like, look, we got Joe Biden's son arrested and we're prosecuting him to the fullest extent of the law, but there's absolutely no way this guy actually gets like really punished for this.
Right. So there's this, there's some investigation about his, you know, dealings, if he was acting as a foreign agent when he was working with these overseas companies. And then there's, of course, the tax charges. So we'll see how that goes. I think you make an excellent point, though, about right wingers. I'm surprised that we don't see more right wing outrage about laws like that, you know, from these gun, the Second Amendment patriot conservatives, because one of the things that you cannot be and own a gun is an alcoholic. And I'm sorry, in America.
Yeah, just, come on.
Right.
Come on.
Jesus, beer, and guns.
We gotta be serious. Like the idea that you can't like suffer from some level of alcoholism and own a gun, like that would seem as un-American as anything that I've ever heard in my life, to be honest.
Yeah, so that was an excellent point. I didn't even really think about like how conservatives, maybe they are, maybe I just haven't been privy to their outrage about that. But other people who are outraged are Republicans who are getting everything they ever wanted with the special counsel announcing these charges. You would think they would be happy. You'd think they would be celebrating, but they are still mad. Take a look.
So Hunter's the consolation prize, but we want the big guy. We want Joe Biden.
First of all, they also just announced investigations into Joe Biden. But I mean, what do you want? You want him to have done something illegal? You want him to have, he hasn't. I'm sorry that your preferred candidate, you know, to run against Joe Biden is King Corruption, but you're running him against squeaky clean Joe Biden. He's not the guy. But you know, how are they gonna do that based on these charges? Well, some in the GOP are thinking Joe is gonna pardon Hunter Biden, because that's what Trump would do if it was his kids, of course. But take a look.
The pardon power has been abused historically by presidents to assist friends and family members. That included Bill Clinton, who pardoned his half brother. I think that what you've seen with people like Clinton is they waited till they were literally leaving office to use that power for personal purposes. And I would not expect that the president could pardon his son and stand for re-election.
Saying that and supporting Donald Trump is a level of cognitive dissonance that should make you feel sick just saying it. Makes me feel sick hearing it. I mean, they support Donald Trump, a man who pardoned Steve Bannon, all of his friends, a convicted pedophile. I mean, come on, how are you gonna bring up Bill Clinton and not the last guy who was literally just in office and deeply abused the power of the pardon? And I'll say, Joe Biden is not gonna pardon Hunter. I don't think they actually believe that for a second, but come on. So you know, if Joe Biden did pardon Hunter, it'd be an uphill battle to explain his actions. CNN said a 55% majority of the public says the president has acted inappropriately regarding the investigation into Hunter Biden over potential crimes, while 44% say that he has acted appropriately and was. I don't think that the people who responded to this poll genuinely have any idea what Joe Biden has had, if he's had any involvement in the investigation of Hunter Biden. Because I mean, you know, we do the news, right? We've been reporting on this. I don't understand what would be the inappropriate, you know, interference that Joe Biden has done in the prosecution of Hunter Biden.
It's kind of mind-boggling trying to wrap your head around this. First, to get back to the pardon question, Joe Biden pardoned his son. I feel like 99% of Americans would be like, well, it is his freaking son. however, if we really got into the pardoning, like Donald Trump was just selling his pardons. Rap fans who are watching the show will remember Kodak Black got pardoned by Donald Trump. Lil Wayne got pardoned by Donald Trump. Like, he was literally just selling them to people who could get in touch with his team. I don't see how that's somehow less corrupt than a guy pardoning his son for, you know, being addicted to illicit drugs and just owning a gun. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a little bit better than actually installing your kid and her freaking husband in your damn administration and having these people actually do negotiations with major partners like Saudi Arabia and Israel. I mean, give me a freaking break here with the idea of a president and his kids and misbehaviors. This is nuts. Jared Kushner, as soon as he leaves the White House, he gets like hundreds of millions of dollars of funding from some Saudi fund. Like, this, like, what are we doing here when we're talking about corruption? Yeah, and you know, again, if Joe Biden decided that he wanted to pardon his kid, I don't think anybody would bat an eye, especially for this specific offense.
Right. And just to that point, Donald Trump has been floating the idea of pardoning himself. So like, how is this your attack on Joe Biden? But I think you make a really good point, because, you know, something I've been saying is I think the Republicans are severely, you know, they're severely miscalculating with focusing, you know, all their attacks on Joe with Hunter. I've said that very familiarly. Joe Biden and I aren't friends. Maybe I should refer to him just as Joe. But I think that they're severely miscalculating, because I think they fail to realize, if you know, inexplicably, because I'm sure that this is something that a lot of them experience. People have members of their family that struggle with addiction. Most people know someone who struggled with addiction, and that is, you know, a horrible thing to go through as the individual struggling with it, but also as the family of that person. And I think Joe Biden has just shown throughout this whole process that he's been a very supportive father to Hunter Biden. And every time they try to attack him for loving his son despite his shortcomings, they only serve to make him look better and just remind us all that Donald Trump hates his kids. I mean,
so what I would say is, again, if we're gonna go down this road, I think the most legitimate criticism, legitimately shady thing about the Hunter Biden situation was this idea that he got these jobs within the private sector, basically based off of being Joe Biden's kid. Mm-hmm. And that is shady, that's borderline corrupt. We can be honest about that. But then you gotta talk about Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump and their jobs, official jobs in the US government, simply because they were Donald Trump's kid and you know, kid, son-in-law. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is nuts.
Right. I mean, what the hell does Jared Kushner know about the Middle East in the first place? And now every time he wants to, you know, offload one of his properties, wouldn't you know, some random Saudi royal family member is buying that up immediately. Like, the corruption is happening right before our very eyes. There's been like a lot of discussion about Donald Trump pulling the strings on the Republicans launching the impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden. In fact, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, we discussed this on Wednesday, Ken Buck, said as much on television when he was discussing how upset he was about this inquiry, when he thinks they should be focusing on passing the budget to keep to keep our government open. But Donald Trump has been a little bit, I wouldn't ever describe Donald Trump as someone who is good at shielding what he actually wants, or so he's pretty much come out and said as much. And so let's pull up this tweet from, or this truth, excuse me, from his social media site, Truth Social. This, the gun charge, is the only crime that Hunter Biden committed that does not implicate crooked Joe Biden. One down, 11 to go. I gotta pause for a second. Why does he capitalize the first letter in words randomly? Where does that come from? Why is 11 capitalized? But anyway, the Democrats, with all their horrible, very unfair, and mostly illegal witch hunts, have started, again, capitalized, have started a process that is very dangerous for our country. They have opened the proverbial Pandora's box, and it is possible that the USA will never be the same again. So sad. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, again, how can you frame Joe Biden as the corruption guy? I mean, this is a guy who was in the Senate for a million years, didn't buy a house in DC, couldn't afford to. So he took the Amtrak back and forth to DC from Delaware every day. I mean, this is a guy who, again, we see all these politicians go to Washington and enrich themselves. Joe Biden had to borrow money from Barack Obama when he was vice president to pay for his son's medical expenses, his cancer treatment. Otherwise, he would have had to sell his house. He is like the one, and there's so many Democrats you could paint as crooked, as corrupt, as taking bribes, to pass the neoliberal agenda. Joe Biden just believes in it. He was just a guy who firmly believes in the neoliberal agenda and loved passing those things without actually getting kickbacks. Most of the money he made after he left the White House, trying to frame him as the crooked candidate coming out of the mouth of Donald Trump. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Republican Party. I really don't.
Yeah, and another thing, it's a fundamental misunderstanding, not just of his history, but of his present, right? Maybe you could say, oh, he got into the White House and started being corrupt, but it's like that would fail the smell test because they have this guy under bubble wrap. This dude barely can even make a public appearance. They're so scared of letting this guy out the damn crib. The idea that he's wheeling and dealing personally in the background and being personally corrupt is absurd. It just doesn't jibe with the reality of the facts on the ground. And so, yeah, this is just a fantasy on Trump's part. And it's just rhetoric. It's this idea that, like, it's not just me who's corrupt, it's everybody. It's the whole Washington, the swamp that wasn't drained, all of that good stuff.
It's particularly funny when it's the Republicans who are both pushing the narrative that, Joe Biden is, and I tend to agree with this, not mentally all there, and, a sundowning man who's incapable.
He's old as hell. Yeah.
Right. But then they also are like, oh, he's this criminal mastermind who's been plotting all this.
Cannot be both. It cannot be both.
Right. They are very much mutually exclusive. But speaking of dumb things that come out of the mouths of conservatives, let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is also apparently PO'd that they're only charging Hunter Biden on the gun case. Just a reminder, though, this is just the first charges. More charges are expected to come. This was just the first of them. She tweeted this out, though. Breaking, Hunter Biden has been indicted for 3 counts of federal gun charges. I wonder if she had the same sort of energy when Trump was indicted. I would venture to guess she did not. But where are the indictments for tax fraud, FARA abuse, money laundering, and sex trafficking, which is not something he's being investigated for, but one of Marjorie Taylor Greene's good friends, Matt Gaetz, was being investigated for. And then one more that angered me for a few reasons that we'll get into in a second. Here's this tweet from Gun Owners of America. It says good that Hunter Biden was indicted. If his father wants to work with us to repeal unconstitutional gun control, our lobbyists will be at the White House in an hour. Until then, Hunter shouldn't get any sweetheart deal, which by it's not a sweetheart deal what he was getting. People are very rarely, you know, sent to jail on those types of charges, lying about having an addiction. It's very, very rare that people spend time in jail under those charges. But it's and we were talking about this earlier, that these gun rights organizations aren't actually mad about that. Here's one explicitly celebrating that Hunter Biden is being charged under what they see as an unconstitutional law.
I like the part where they're like, look, now that Joe's feeling the pain, we're willing to talk to him about repealing these unconstitutional laws. Again, this is just laughable. This honestly is reminiscent of the Benghazi hearings, all of the stuff that conservatives did back during the Obama White House, when they were just grasping at any straw to try to tie anything untoward or corrupt around the necks of the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton being the Secretary of State at the time. This is just desperation grasping for straws here, because this is penny ante stuff. I'm sorry.
Right. And those obviously the Benghazi investigation particularly was really grasping at straws. But it's funny because the Clintons are people who the public is more receptive to this. They're corrupt, right? They control so many things behind the scenes. Joe Biden is not that guy. I mean, they refer to him as like Uncle Joe. I mean, he's just, he's been this sort of happy-go-lucky figure, especially he very successfully branded himself that way while he was vice president. And to now try to pin, being an evil, corrupt mastermind on him is just so ridiculous. But we'll keep all of you updated on the Hunter Biden indictment, because conservatives are gonna make sure that that is the center of the news for a while. All right, back on the damage report. You know what, now that you mention it, whenever my older relatives, we were just talking, for anyone who wasn't tuned in with us for the last minute, about boomers capitalizing random letters in the middle of sentences. Now that you mention that, that is something that my older relatives have a tendency to do in their Facebook posts. So I do see what you're saying. Okay, but we went from one set of charges. Let's move on to another more serious set of charges, and that would be the ones against Donald Trump, because we have a big update from Trump's Georgia case. Trump has successfully gotten his first delay of the trial date, which, if you've been paying attention, is something that he's been trying to do as much as possible. Associated Press, who reported on this, wrote, Donald Trump will not face trial next month in Georgia after a judge ruled Thursday that the former president and 16 other accused of illegally trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election will be tried separately from two other defendants in the case. Lawyers Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesbro have filed demands for a speedy trial, and Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee, set their trial to begin October 23rd. Trump and other defendants had asked to be tried separately from Powell and Chesbro, with some saying they could not be ready by the late October trial date. Now, the judge said that to satisfy the demands by Powell and Chesbro for a speedy trial, he will try to have a jury seated by November 3rd, which is, I'll be honest, going to be a Herculean task for the prosecutors. You know, it should be a little bit easier for getting the jury together for these two. It's going to be exceptionally difficult to do it for Trump. And, I know this isn't what the prosecutors wanted, but if all of these defendants were tried together, it would have made that process even more difficult. Now, Chesbro and Powell have sought to be tried separately from one another, but the judge denied that request as well, Associated Press reported. The McAfee said he was skeptical of prosecutors' argument that trying all 19 defendants together would be more efficient. He noted that Fulton County Courthouse does not have a courtroom big enough to hold 19 defendants, their lawyers and others who would need to be present, and relocating to a bigger venue could raise security concerns. Now, Fannie Willis, the DA, was arguing this, that Willis had been pushing to try all 19 defendants together, arguing that it'd be fairer and more efficient. McAfee cited the tight timetable, among other issues, as a factor in his decision to separate Trump and 16 others from Powell and Chesbro. Realistically, holding three or more simultaneous high-profile trials would create a host of security issues and would create unavoidable burdens on witnesses and victims, who would be forced to testify three or more times on the same set of facts in the same case. Now, setting additional court dates will likely be a challenge for McAfee, given the avalanche of motions from the various defendants, each specific to their defense and to their schedule, Washington Post reported. Among the challenges, Trump does not want to be tried with anyone seeking a speedy trial and is expected to try to delay his proceedings until after the 2024 election. Meadows wants to stand trial alone, but only after he exhausts his appeals on his request to move his case to federal court. For anyone who has been paying attention, you know that Mark Meadows had been attempting to get his case removed to federal court. That was denied. That request was denied just last week. And now he's attempting to appeal that decision, although it's unlikely that it would be overturned on appeal. So was small victory for Trump here, at least in getting the trial date pushed back a little bit further.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious what the tactic here is, right? It's this idea that you would push this back, like hopefully you get it started so late that the trial would even be going if he potentially won next year, November, right? And let's face it, the president of the United States cannot go to prison. That's just not a thing. You can drop drones on the heads of American citizens, let alone Middle Eastern ones. You can commit all kinds of atrocities when you're in the office of the presidency. You can't commit crimes while you're president. That's sort of the precedent that we've set for every single president who's ever existed in this country. And so that's what I think he wants. He wants this thing to go on until he, in his mind, you know, wins the next election, and therefore everything else won't even really matter, right? He'll have 4 years to just basically turn all of these convictions or indictments or whatever into dust. That's what he's going to try to do. But obviously, on the other side, I think they're going to try to get this thing in and done with before next year's election so that he can have some convictions on his books. I'm sure that's what they're hoping for. I find it hard to believe that we're going to put Donald Trump in prison either way, even if he's convicted. I just find it very hard to believe that we're going to send a guy who's 80 years old or whatever the hell he'll be by that time to prison for any of this stuff.
Right. And so for anyone wondering, like, does the Secret Service go to jail with him if he does end up in jail? They do. They do have to go to jail with him. Yes.
That's nuts.
And, you know, I mean, I'm sure that's not exactly the job they imagined signing up for, but
that's a different type of protective custody, right? Like, I mean, this is protective custody on another level. Could you imagine like Donald Trump doing pull-ups and dips on the yard? And he's, you know, you got the Latino gangs and the skinhead gangs and the Muslims and all of that. And Donald Trump is just with the Secret Service agents doing all kinds of calisthenics. That's quite the image, honestly.
I have a hard time picturing Donald Trump working out in any capacity. So you make a good point, though, that I also agree that he probably will not end up in any sort of traditional prison if he's convicted. Potentially house arrest, I could see. Definitely, I mean, you know, with restricted access to, you know, internet and whatnot, but there is a severe limitation for them in that. Where do you put him? I mean, you can't put him, obviously, into any sort of general population prison. And he would make an argument, and I think it would be a good argument, that putting him in any sort of like solitary confinement for his own protection would violate his constitutional rights. So how do you work that? What do you do? And I think the only solution is house arrest, but is that really a punishment when you have the houses that Donald Trump has, which is essentially just an entire resort and golf club?
Well, I heard we've got a really chill prison situation in the Caribbean, out in Cuba, that he might be interested in if we find solitary to be too inhumane. Yeah, I heard that spot in Cuba is pretty chill.
Oh, if only, God willing, God willing, that would happen. And honestly, there's several other presidents that could join him there.
Oh my Lord, yeah.
All right, speaking of Donald Trump, he did an interview with Megyn Kelly, former foe, current ally, I'm not quite sure. Let's take a look at this and you can decide for yourself.
Do you believe that every CIA document that came to you as president was automatically yours to keep no matter what?
I'm not gonna answer that question.
Well, so because that's the dispute.
No, because I think it's clear in the document. The Presidential Records Act was a very complex thing that took a long time to do, having to do more with Richard Nixon because he kept everything. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yep.
And they said, we don't wanna have this anymore. So they did this, and these thugs and deranged people, they didn't even mention that. They never mentioned that. They never talked about that. They never said, gee, the Presidential Records Act. Do you know they don't even mention it? And everybody knows,
yeah, that's right,
that I'm covered by that.
Everybody knows that he's covered by that, except apparently the prosecutors who are prosecuting him for violating that. But now Donald Trump was talking to Megyn Kelly in this interview where he is still pretending he didn't break any laws. Solid defense there. It wasn't illegal because it wasn't illegal. Now she tried to ask him again on whether he had documents in that audio recording. Take a look.
Why would you be holding up a newspaper saying this is still secret?
I'd have to look at it.
I could declassify it if I were president.
I would have to look at it.
But that's what you told Brett Baer. You told Brett Baer that was a newspaper.
I could have declassified. No, I also told Brett Baer, as I remember, I don't know, it was a long time interview.
Will you tell me what were you waving around?
I also told Brett Baer that it wasn't a classified document.
What were you waving around in that meeting? Because it certainly sounds like it was an attack.
I'm not going to talk to you about that because that's already been, I think, very substantiated, and there's no problem with it.
It hasn't been substantiated. Jack Smith says it was the attack plan.
Megyn, let me just tell you.
And you told Brett Baer.
Let me tell you. Here we go again. I'm covered by the Presidential Records Act. I'm allowed to do what I want to do. I'm allowed to have documents.
I'm allowed to have documents. He defends himself by invoking the name of stand-up guy who never broke the law, Richard Nixon, which, by the way, pay attention to the date that I'm about to read to you as to why maybe the Presidential Records Act wasn't super pertinent when it came to Richard Nixon. But let's just quickly go over the Presidential Records Act. And here it is. The Presidential Records Act of 1978, which just keep that in mind, considering he said use Richard Nixon as an example, governs the official records of presidents and vice presidents that were created or received after January 20th, 1981. Again, another date that is important when he's using Richard Nixon, who had not been the president at that time anyway. The PRA changed the legal ownership of the official records of the president from private to public and established a new statutory structure under which presidents and subsequently NARA must manage the records of their administration. So what about the statement that once Trump leaves office, they're still his documents? From the National Archives, the PRA makes clear that upon the conclusion of the president's term in office, NARA assumes responsibility for the custody, control, preservation of, and access to the records of a president. The PRA makes the legal status of presidential records clear and unambiguous, providing that the United States reserves and retains complete ownership, possession, and control of presidential records. So Donald Trump is right about one thing. It is clear, but what's not, it's not clear that he didn't violate it. It is abundantly clear that he did and was. They've been trying to defend him by saying, oh, all presidents keep documents after they leave the White House. And they talk about Joe Biden doing it. But the issue isn't that, it's not strictly that he kept these documents. It's that when the National Archives demanded he return them, he said no and fought them every step of the way. So much so that the FBI had to recover the documents.
I think what I'm struck by when I'm watching Trump talk to Megyn Kelly there is how divorced the concept of civil servant is from any of this dialogue, right? The idea that these documents do not belong to Donald Trump personally just because he was president. He was in there to do a job for the people of the United States. Therefore, those documents belong to us. I think the process and our situation has become so post-political, so post-democratic, to be honest, that oftentimes that truth gets lost in all of this. Like, Donald Trump thinks that he became president to go to work for himself. And in many ways he did. He got his kids rich. He got himself richer. Like, in many ways, he did treat that office as his own personal piggy bank and bank account. But the reality is, he was supposed to be in there serving the people. And at no point does Megyn Kelly point that out. At no point does he acknowledge his role as a civil servant. Like, this guy, as far as he's concerned, the president, the Oval Office was just something he was running for Trump Enterprises for 4 years. It's pretty jarring to watch that clip, honestly, under that context.
Yeah, and you know, you do raise a really good point that this is someone who obviously doesn't give a crap about the people who he you know, ran on this idea that I'm giving Washington back to you. And in reality, when he got there, you know, he was, instead of, you know, draining the swamp, he just became another alligator inside of it. Megyn Kelly, of course, didn't press him on that. What she did ask him about, though, other than the documents, was the Biden impeachment inquiry, where he basically admitted that he did it as an act of revenge for his two impeachments. Let's take a look.
Nancy Pelosi, crazy Nancy, said, "We ain't going to impeach him." They didn't do inquiries. They went out and they voted because they had the votes. And as usual, everybody votes, you know, for the Democrats. It's a little bit easier. They didn't have Mitt Romney's of the world. And that's really nice because now he's not running today, as you know. He just announced. I think that's great for the Republican Party, for the country, and for Utah. But that's going to be up to them whether or not they want to do it. I have no idea whether they will or not. We do have a lot of other things, but it's quite important. And they did it to me. And had they not done it to me, I think, and nobody officially said this, but I think had they not done it to me, and I'm very popular in the region, you know, they like me and I like them, the Republican Party, perhaps you wouldn't have it being done to them. And this is going to happen with indictments too. They have fake indictments, and I think you're going to see that as time goes by. You're going to see Republicans, when they're in power, doing it. And it's a shame when that happens. I'm not in favor of that, but that's what's going to happen because that's human nature.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Donald Trump is the pettiest bitch on earth. Definitely in America, potentially on earth. But in true Republican fashion, in true GOP fashion, he went on some tirade about trans people because Republicans can't stop thinking about trans people. Let's take a watch.
Should biological men who say that they're trans be allowed in women's restrooms and women's locker rooms, women's prisons, women's spaces?
Yeah, my stance on that is really pretty much what I had in the military. I think it has to be, huh?
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah, that's my stance. I mean, that's been my stance. I may have allowed Caitlin, and Caitlin's Caitlin, right? I knew Caitlin as Bruce. I knew Bruce, and you know, Bruce was a great athlete and a very handsome person, very handsome guy. And all of a sudden, Bruce is Caitlin. I said, "What's this all about?"
Can a man become a woman?
In my opinion, you have a man, you have a woman. I think part of it is birth. Can the man give birth? No. No, although they'll come up with some answer to that also someday. I heard just the other day they have a way that now the man can give birth. No, I would say I'll continue my stance on that.
I'll continue my stance on that, which is Caitlyn Jenner was very attractive before she transitioned. And then after she transitioned, my attraction to her suddenly made sense. Like, what was he even trying to say there? I just. That he thinks that Caitlyn Jenner was hot before she transitioned to being a woman.
You know what's telling about what's like super interesting about that clip right there is he doesn't have a clear and strong stance on this. Mm-hmm. He's clearly not as dug in and virulently hateful as many people in the party. He didn't want to come out and just say, they're not people, they're not men, they're not, like, he didn't want to just, he was hemming and hawing there. Like, if you ask Donald Trump about the border, for instance, a topic that he's very strong on in his takes, he'd be like, we got to close that thing down, we shouldn't be letting people in from Mexico, but like, he will give you all of this stuff, they're taking our jobs, but like, he will go on and on and on about why he feels the way he feels about something like the border and immigration writ large, right? The way that he answered that question just shows you he's not part of the sort of orthodoxy and groupthink of the GOP right now, where he's just like, I mean, I don't know, I used to know Bruce Jenner and now it's Caitlyn, and he's like, I guess I could make an exception for somebody that I knew personally, but like, I don't know.
Right.
That's what it felt like right there, I don't know.
Because if that was Ron DeSantis, he would have jumped on the question and immediately started spewing his genocidal rhetoric about trans people.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
He would have needed a straitjacket for him. He would have lost his damn mind at the question.
It's crazy that these white supremacists who love to champion violence against minorities don't actually like it when they're feeling the consequences of their actions, because you know, it's another day, another racist white person terrorizing and harassing their black neighbors and then claiming victimhood status when they're staring down those consequences. Now, News One reported, did some excellent reporting on this and wrote, on Tuesday, the Department of Justice announced the arrest of Charles Allen Barnes of Lewiston, Maine. Barnes was charged with one count of violating the federal interstate threat statute after being accused of using an interstate communication service to transmit a voice message to his black neighbor, identified only as KT, in which he claims he was parked outside a black neighbor's house and ready to kill any black person who stepped outside. And I'm sure that you could probably infer that black person is not the word that he used when he was executing that threat. We have a picture of this racist scumbag right here. Doesn't look too happy to be getting arrested. But now what he's not happy about is being criticized for being a racist piece of crap. Because in fact, the day before his arrest, he posted his complaints on Facebook about how he's being treated exactly like he's accused of treating his black neighbor and her family, aside from the fact that they were completely innocent, minding their own business, and he deserves what he's getting. So here's that. Here's his statement. Ever since the story put out by Maine's attorney general came out about me, my life has been hell. Good. Between constant tampering with my car, harassment from a few customers, eviction, death threats, etc. Why don't you call the police? Because someone can literally cut my brake lines and the cops won't even write a basic report. They will just instantly accuse me of doing it myself to scam my liability only insurance that won't cover it. Charged and convicted are two separate things. But no one cares. Now the DOJ noted that Barnes faces up to 5 years in prison if convicted as charged. And was, I mean, this is a guy who was screaming slurs to his neighbor, parked outside her house, threatening to kill her or any black person who walked out. But he somehow is the victim in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how that victim narrative carries over with most of these white supremacist guys. They feel like they're a victim of the fact of the existence of varied and diverse set of human beings who exist, right? So I'm not surprised that this guy would feel victimized by his own freaking actions. That now he doesn't get to live as comfortably as he once did. It's not like this guy's gonna learn a lesson about humanity and being like just a normal human being and just show like just the baseline level of human decency and courtesy to the people around you. I don't think that's the lesson he's gonna learn. It's just gonna be more woe is me from this dude. Shouldn't be surprised by that.
Right. And speaking of white supremacy, let's talk about Mike Pence, who held a town hall where chosen audience members were able to ask him questions. And after he gave an extremely transphobic answer to a previous question, this woman stepped up to the microphone, overcome with emotion, and rightfully so. She's a woman who is the parent of a transgender child, and she is demanding answers from Mike Pence about violence against the transgender community. Let's take a look.
Recent anti-LGBTQ bills have been signed into law all around this United States, including here in Iowa. So far in 2023, 15 transgender individuals and gender nonconforming people have been murdered. The vast majority of those people have been Black and Latinx transgender women. It is very hard for me to ask these questions after just hearing what I heard. What is your policy plan to protect the transgender community, specifically Black and brown trans women, from historically high levels of violence?
The rage I felt inside my soul while she is talking about real violence towards the trans community, and Mike Pence sits there shaking his head like he's shocked and disgusted by it. Shut the hell up. We know that you don't care about this community. And she mentions that he just got done giving an answer that caused her to be overwhelmed with emotion. What he said was that he was going to protect the children from trans ideology that is infecting their minds. So she's rightfully upset by what she just heard. And of course, he gives a very disingenuous politician-ass answer.
Well, Melissa, let me say, I'm deeply grieved to hear about those tragic circumstances. And I hear your heart. I'm moved by your emotion. I truly am. Look, if I'm president of the United States, I'm gonna see to the protection of every American and the rights of every American.
Now, I'm going to spare you from having to look at Mike Pence's face anymore. I'm just going to read to you what the rest of this answer was. He said, "I'm a Bible believing Christian. I have particular views of these matters, and you have a different view of those, perhaps." Incidentally, that woman is also a Christian, but actually maybe believes in the idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, unlike Mike Pence. "But I want you to know, I believe in the freedom of religion. I believe in the freedom of conscience. I believe in the right of every American to live, to work, to worship according to the dictates of their conscience, and I'll respect that. But I hope you also hear my heart on this." He continues on, "For me, what adults do in their lives, decisions that they make, including transgender adults, is one thing. But for kids under the age of 18, there's a reason why I don't let you drink till you're 16. In the state of Indiana, you can't get a tattoo until you're 18. You can't drink until after you're 21. That's because we understand that kids don't fully understand the consequences of their actions," which is not the same. These are treatments being prescribed by doctors. No doctor has ever prescribed a child to get a tattoo. It is a nonsense argument, and she, you know, responds to that nonsense argument, I think, very well in this clip.
I'm a social worker. I've been in this profession for 25 years. I've worked with kids most of my profession. I started an LGBTQ youth program in my own hometown. I started one in Terre Haute, Indiana, where I was threatened with KKK and exes on my doorstep, and that was in 2020. I have worked with kids as young as 5 years old that have gender nonconforming and identities that are transgender, and I've raised one. And so to hear somebody tell me that it's not okay for young children to make decisions about their gender identity and to ask their school officials for support, protection, and help is appalling.
And I'm glad that she said that. I mean, Waz, it's so frustrating to hear these Republicans just utter the same nonsense talking points about tattoos and letting kids drive. This is not, the kid isn't saying, "Give me hormones, give me one trans, please, doctor." They're working in consultation with a doctor who is prescribing these treatments for the children.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would see this issue who aren't very well versed on the actual treatment that goes into these treatments for the trans children and be like, ah, that's crazy. You can't. I think that's what Mike Pence is trying to appeal to. Somebody who's not well versed on this topic being like, that's crazy. You can't just let a kid decide they're not who they're supposed to be, right? And I think that's all Mike Pence is doing. He's banking on people who are low information on the issue to side with him by throwing out this stuff about drinking and driving and all that other stuff. It's just a clear dodge. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. We saw that sort of line of anti-trans rhetoric really not work electorally for the Republicans in the midterms. So them trying to run again on it in the general, I think for the president or in the primary, is silly and a political miscalculation. But we'll keep you all updated on the progress of that primary, although I think we all know who is going to win it. That's all the time we have for those of you on linear, but we'll have the aftermath coming up after this break.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.